Welcome to the CCTA wake-up call show. Folks, this is the day after election, so we think we have things to talk about. I think we know most of the results. Some of them still are maybe not finalized. Well, I know it's nothing's finalized yet, but where do we want to go first?
Trump won!
Trump won.
He did.
We go do the introductions.
That is a wild comeback.
Now, we're recording on Wednesday afternoon, and we understand probably within the hour that Kamala will concede. She has not
yet. She said 6 o'clock.
She moved it back to 6, from yeah. 4 to 6.
Uh-oh. She's already conceded, but she'll make her speech at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Who did she concede to?
To Trump.
She called him?
Yes, she did.
Finally, all right.
Yes. According to my news sources, what it says.
Is it a reliable news source?
Probably not.
Well, you know, if it's right wing, it's probably not. left wing, it's gospel.
So Kim, as you mentioned, Trump won, but he not only won the Electoral College, which is what is it now? It's up 292, something like that.
It was 3-something
307?
Because they just gave him Michigan.
They just gave him Michigan. But he also won the popular vote, which is something that has not happened.
By 5 million.
And apparently the other party's vote is down like 15 million people?
Well, Kamala Harris did not get more votes than Joe Biden in any single county in the U.S. So
well,
we don't know.
It's the white women's fault.
So we don't know where all those votes for Biden came from. I mean, this again, the lack of 15 million votes also throws shade on the 2020 election.
True.
Did we invent people?
Of course we did. It's called illegal voters and drop boxes and mail-in ballots and...
Do we know how many votes that Trump got this time compared to 2020?
He got 71 million plus.
This time?
This time.
Well, something
he got 60-some last
million
time
last
in 2016.
Yeah. So he actually improved.
Yeah.
Something else that was impressive with the election in our state was we had more than 70% of the people... more than 70% of the people that were eligible to vote voted. That's an incredibly high number compared to the 20-something we have in the primaries.
Very high in the early voting.
Yeah.
And I think we had good numbers across the country because people have been negatively impacted by the policies of Joe Biden. And the other part of it, too, this is strictly an opinion. I think Americans have a sense of fairness. And when they see the Justice Department being used politically, I think there's something in the back of their mind that says, this could happen to me if the shoe was on the other foot. And I think that the politicization of the Justice Department and the government overreach really made an impression. And to go totally out in the weeds here, I think the death of Peanut and Fred impacted people in the sense of the government came into someone's house because of a pet.
They killed a squirrel.
Questioned their wife about her immigration status when you've got thousands of illegal immigrants running through New York City that nobody's questioning. They're just
spending
the money.
And they spent 5 hours in his house doing what? Looking for the squirrel?
And they were complaining that the squirrel bit somebody, but they had their gloves on. I'm not buying that the squirrel actually bit anybody.
I know there's a lawsuit out to try to find a medical report on somebody being bit. So far,
yes.
So far, nothing's been found.
But again, I think the government overreach in the past 4 years and the use of the Justice Department for political purposes scared a lot of people.
I think with the Joe average, that is absolutely true. But I've been reading a good bit on Facebook today, and the people, the power people, or what do they call them, the influencers, they are as rabid as they have ever been. And it's incredible to me that they have such disdain for basically Joe Average, because anybody who voted for Trump is stupid. And I mean, Joy Reid saying it's white women, that it's our fault because we didn't lie to our husbands and, you know, in the voting booth and whatever those other commercials were. But I'm just shocked because it seems to me, from what I'm reading, that the left is saying no matter what happens, it's time to come together, no matter what your position was. Now prove to us that you mean what you said. Now, why is it always the right that has to prove to the left what we said? I don't recall a riot after any Republican anything win, but there's the Democrats are telling us to be calm.
Well, I think,
and they brought out how many thousand National Guard troops last night in D.C.?
The Capitol is fenced off,
and so was Kamala's personal residence.
Yes,
but they're telling us to be calm. We are not the ones that go and destroy things.
No, we were not the peaceful protests of 2020, where the city was burning down, and the guy called it a mostly peaceful protest and won a Pulitzer Prize for that.
Well, what I found really interesting about the election was that the Democrat strategy, they had more money than the Republicans raised.
Mm-hmm.
And normally you equate the amount of money raised with victory. Didn't work that, and this time it did not happen.
Well, Hillary had more money.
Well, so it's not always a money issue.
I think in our state it was a money issue. If you look at Josh Stein and Hal Weatherman, and if you look at the Dan Bishop and same thing with Mo Green and Michelle Morrow, I think the money definitely impacted. How many commercials did we see with Don Davis? So many more.
Yeah, there was a lot of commercials.
A lot of
I'd
commercials.
Never heard of him before.
Well, he's our new attorney general.
He is?
I think that's
Don Davis. He was a representative.
No, I might have the name wrong.
Black guy.
No.
Turnbout.
The
woman that
Buckhout lost to Don Davis. Yes, that's the one.
Okay.
No, but whoever the attorney general is, he's a young guy. I can't remember his name, but he had all the commercials on TV. Vote for my dad.
Josh.
Jeff Jackson.
Jeff Jackson.
Sorry about
that. That's the name.
Yep.
Yeah. But he had so much more money. So statewide, I think it made a difference. But federally, I agree with you, Alan.
Yeah. Well, but the point I'm making, you know, you see amount of money spent. It depends on how those candidates run their campaign also. And you have to have an effective campaigner. And I think that could balance it out. The other thing that was gratifying to see was that the fake news did not carry the election. I mean,
not for lack of trying.
I know. What I'm saying, they did not succeed. I mean, Trump had the entire, what they call legacy media, Trump calls it fake news, against them. But he won anyway. So that's what my point being is that the power and influence of the legacy media was diminished, was shown not to be sufficient to overcome the issues and the things that the people in the country felt strongly about.
One of those that you're talking about, Alan, is the thing formerly called Twitter that Elon Musk took over and changed to X and allowed it to be an open forum for anybody's speech. I mean, in 4 years ago, it was clamped down. You couldn't say anything about a Republican on those forums.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that struck me this time and also in 2020 with Trump was the enthusiasm of his supporters. That enthusiasm you can't create by an ad on the radio or on the TV. And I think that's what helped him carry the day, all the rallies that he did, getting to the people. He relates to the people in a way that Kamala had no inkling of being able to do. He's just a sincere person. And that, I think, helped And of course, he had all the issues on his side, the ones that the people cared about.
Well, he didn't need money for name recognition. He's the most famous man on the planet.
The Media Research Council put together the statistics on the coverage of the campaign. 78% of the coverage of the Democrat candidate was positive. 15% of the coverage of President Trump was positive. And that is a 63-point advantage to the Democrats, and they still lost.
And I think that may be a reason for that, Mary, may be that people are no longer dependent on the legacy media. There are other platforms. There's Newsmax. There's other platforms that people go to get their news. Very few people go to CNN or these. Of course, they're actually struggling, those stations and those media outlets. And that's reassuring to see that we have enough variety where people can get their news without being completely propagandized by a few legacy media stations.
And all of the kids get all of their news off of, social media.
And one of the things...
They don't go to newspapers or anything, or the mainstream news.
And I worked down at the early voting polls for several days, and one of the things that really pleased me was the number of young people that were coming to vote, people who had never voted before, and they were very interested in Republican voter information, and some of them were brought by their parents, which was nice. But they were there, and it surprised me how many young people. So they're impacted so much on what's going on with the economy. And it's so good to see that, because those people are going to bode well for the future, because if they're satisfied with Trump and what he does when he gets back in office, if he can accomplish that, what he's done, those people will be firm Trump Republicans in the future.
An interesting thing in looking at the absentees on a daily basis within Craven County during the absentee voting, we added over 1,400 new voters in that period.
The early voting?
During the early vote. Well, it's called absentee voting. The early voting.
Yeah.
That's quite a bunch of new folks. Yes.
So what do you see changing on January 21st?
Well, first off, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters, and that's a little teaser. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Stop in at East 70 Point for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Alan, you wanted to take us.
And we've touched on this in one of the previous shows, Bob, about the relationship between the certain types of individuals and their propensity to vote and so on and so forth. And this election, we had talked about, for example, Christians having the impact of being able to vote, hopefully based on their principles. And as we mentioned earlier, this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. There's no question about that. And in fact, John Adams said that if we lost those, the country couldn't survive.
Yes.
So the point is, that's well established. However, we get into this problem where we have pastors and churches who are reluctant to mention anything about politics because they're afraid of offending. I guess they're either afraid of losing their tax exempt status, which has never happened, by the way, or they are reluctant to speak about politics because maybe they'll offend some congregation members and they'll lose some members in the church. But there are some pastors, ministers, priests that have really spoken out in this election about the importance of using the basis of your decision-making being the Christian principles that a candidate reflects or does not reflect. And I think that that's a great thing. And I think that that was, for example, at the church that I attend, couple of weeks ago, I stood up and encouraged people to get out and vote. I didn't tell them who to vote for. I just said, but look at the Christian, the values of the candidates. And fortunately, this past Sunday, our pastor actually, I went to him and said, do you want me to make that announcement about the upcoming election day, or do you want to do it? And he picked it up and said he would do it, which was really gratifying because it meant more, I think, to the congregation to have the pastor saying, you should get out and vote, you should look at the issues. And he enumerated a couple of those issues, like the transgender stuff, as being anti-Christian. So that was encouraging to see that. I hope that in the future the pastors become more outspoken about the importance of it.
Did he mention abortion?
He did mention abortion.
Okay.
One of the things that is concerning, of course, is what is going on in our schools and what is not being taught about our foundation. And this was posted on Facebook by a Gen... What's the current Gen? Is that Gen Z? Yeah, this is a Gen Z person. Almost every justification I've seen today has used Bible verses, and she doesn't even capitalize Bible, saying the country needs Jesus. Respectfully, no, it doesn't. Christians need Jesus. America needs separation of church and state, the foundation on which this country exists in the first place. You're not allowed to let your religion control. You are allowed to let your religion control your own life, but you're not allowed to let it control the entire country. That's exactly opposite of what our founding fathers said and what should be taught in our history classes.
If I could go back in time, I would take that letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote where he mentioned the separation between church and state and trash it.
And burn it.
The Danbury letter, yes.
Because that letter has taken precedence, the unholy
and so out of context.
Has hung their hat on that letter and has given it way too much importance.
And opposite of what the intention was. The intention was to keep the government out of the church.
Yes. Well, okay, you know, the people that believe that, she said that the separation of church and state was the foundation of our country. No, that's not right. Because what I would say to that young person is, where do your rights come from in America? Where do your rights come from? What do the documents say? They come from God, young lady. God. They don't come from the government. And so this country is founded on the premise that God has given us rights that the government cannot take from us, period.
But there's a lot of these Gen Zers who don't believe in God. And
yes.
They believe that the government is God.
Well, that's why, you know, because of the issues with school and these things, that's why parents and grandparents need to take the role of teaching their children these things, because they're not getting it where we got it in civics classes and so on. For example, it was interesting. I had an experience yesterday at the polls. This gentleman comes up and he has his grandson with him. The grandson was 9 or 10. And the grandfather brought him to where we were handing out election material and wanted us to explain, wanted me to explain to his grandson what the elections were all about the civic issues. So he, and then he took him into the polls to show his grandson what the polls look like. So he was actually taking on the role of teaching his grandson about the election process. And I heard another, I read an article the other day, there was this guy, and what he does is he, every year on Constitution Day, there is a Constitution Day, mm-hmm. he actually, his family gathers together and they read the Constitution from beginning to end, the family together. They just read it because, again, we can't have confidence that they're getting this information and this education in the public schools. And that's what he's been doing. And that would be a great thing for all of us to do. And it would be easy to do.
Well, people better start paying attention to what's going on in the school, because the newly elected North Carolina Superintendent of Public Instruction is not going to take us to the conservative values that you're indicating.
And the only solution to that is for the local boards of education to step up and exert their authority. For example, in Craven County now, my understanding after this election, all 7 of the board members are Republicans. And therefore, they have the option of stepping up and asserting their authority. And not caving into what Raleigh tells them, and because they're elected to do what we want them to do with the schools.
Isn't there a state law that says they have to have so many semesters of civics or something? Anybody remember this?
Yeah, it's the Founding Principles Act, and they were supposed to have a full semester before graduation. And this is probably 8 or 10 years ago, and we were up in Raleigh with CCTA fighting it, and we actually had several people testify in front of the Joint Legislative Education Oversight Committee at the time, and it was also the same period they were revising the Advanced Placement U.S. History. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Superintendent of Instruction was June Atkinson, and she informed the General Assembly and the Oversight Committee that semester requirement was being met because they had a little bit of history and civics in this grade and a little bit in that grade and a little bit in...
Sprinkled around the... Yeah.
So added all together, it amounted to a semester. And when it was my turn to testify, I said that is not the... intent of the law. It may be the letter of the law, but the intent of the law was one continuous semester, and it was to be in high school. So I have no idea what the curriculum in high school is now.
When I just spent a week up in New Hampshire, and I had a chance to meet my granddaughter's history teacher, who was a retired Marine. And I was intrigued by what was written on the blackboard, which said, every time an 18-year-old doesn't vote, a social studies teacher dies. I thought that was interesting. And in order to graduate from that high school, they have to pass the U.S. citizenship test.
I think that's awesome.
He's got them listening to the news and evaluating it every day. And again, they also study the Constitution. This is a high school, and she's a freshman.
Is it a public school?
It's a charter
school. It's a charter school. It's an art charter school.
Okay.
And she's a freshman, but they cannot graduate from that school unless they can pass the U.S. citizenship class. How many Americans who were born here do you think could pass the citizenship class?
I can. I've taken it. You can go online and take it.
Oh,
by the way,
fun.
By the way, I know that we're doing the radio show, but we also published the CCTA page in the County Compass. And I know this week, and this show will be broadcast on Saturday and Sunday, but I added a little bit filler to the County Compass page this week that I picking on Thomas Paine. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from their service of his country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of men and women. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered, yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. This is Thomas Paine, written December 19th and published of 1776, published as a pamphlet in Philadelphia, and read to Washington's troops December 24th, 1776, before they crossed the Delaware.
Wow. Hmm. But our kids aren't learning this stuff.
Well, going back to this, to the thing you read from Facebook and the indication of separation of church and state, you can go back to the old photographs of the founding issues where they were arguing points. And most of these meetings, even in the small towns, the building that they had these meetings in were churches.
Mm-hmm.
So if they, every town meeting was in the church because it was the government building at the time.
And church services were held in the Capitol building in Washington for a long time.
Yeah.
And the Senate and the House have a chaplain, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They still do. Mm-hmm. They still do.
But you can see, you know, the changes in people's values so dramatically. Like Ronald Reagan said, it was take one generation and you can lose your freedom and lose your country. And we were talking earlier on the break about people who get together and they, whether they get married or not, or they live together, they make that choice. There was a time when I was younger, that would never happen.
No.
That would have been something that would have been so ostracized. You've been almost ostracized if you were doing that.
Well, now you're
and
ostracized.
And now it happens all the time. The parents think it's okay. In fact, like you're saying, that sometimes they even encourage you and say, well, you should live together so you get to know each other and so on. And then we look at the birth rate for children, which is not at it's not at a point where we can maintain our population. And part of that's the reason.
But you silly boy, that's why we need the illegal immigrants, because we're not having enough babies.
Are we currently
at a turning point because of this election?
I hope
now,
so.
Now again, we didn't win everything that we thought we would, what we needed to win, but I hope we're at a turning point.
Well, we didn't win boys out of girls sports. We didn't win the
yet.
Right, but state in our state, we still have the critical race theory going to be the new superintendent of public instruction. So we still have the Title 19 stuff in our schools.
Well, didn't Trump say he was going to get rid of the Department of Education?
Yes, he did.
We hope so.
Well, what does that do to the regulations already in place?
I don't know.
Folks, we're going to use that as a teaser. Maybe just a question mark that's not going to get answered. But we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, we're going to put you on the platform.
On the hot spot?
On the hot spot.
What am I talking about?
Jack Smith.
Jack Smith?
Jack Smith?
I hate Jack Smith. Ooh. Ooh, Jack Smith. Really, I am offended by Jack Smith.
By his use of the law?
His use of the law.
Or misuse of the law.
His misuse of the law.
We need to mention that Pat is a lawyer.
So at any rate, we looked up before we started the program whether or not there was anything to do with Jack Smith. And so he is, what did the article say, Mary? He is winding down.
He's winding down, and it looks like he's going to step down from the Justice Department.
Yeah,
one of the
articles said the DOJ was forcing him to resign.
Yes.
Well, that's probably to stop any kind of investigation into his actions.
I don't know that the DOJ would have anything to worry about after Trump gets into office, just for the mere fact that Jack Smith was in there, you know, that the other attorneys were in there. The place is stocked fully with Democrats. So whoever he puts in as attorney general is going to have a hard row to hoe.
Well, it's going to be, I think the Democrats are going to be in a real dilemma, because if they come out and stop all these prosecutions of Trump, that's going to be admitting that they were baseless and they were all political.
Right.
So they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place.
Well, I've been watching them.
You know,
The ones that Jack Smith was pushing, those two are federal.
Yes.
And so Trump can get rid of those like that. But the state, the New York State cases and the Georgia case, by the way, Trump took Georgia. Did he take Fulton County?
I don't know about Fulton County. Let me go see.
While you're looking that up. The New York cases, well, let's see. Merchan has yet to sentence Trump on his felony case. And his next ruling is supposed to be about whether the immunity issues affect the legitimacy of the trial, because one of the arguments made by Trump's side is that there was evidence produced at trial that violated the new immunity ruling that we had from the Supreme Court, in which case the whole case needs to go away. Merchan's already ruled against that. But whatever remaining immunity issues, he's got to rule on those. Now, if he was smart and he wanted to to save face, he would just rule that the immunity issues made the case untenable and the case would be dismissed. If he instead does the other thing that we all expected him to do before Trump won, I mean, I really don't think there's any doubt in people's mind that if Trump had lost this election, he was going to jail. I mean, do we get a consensus of that around the table here?
That's where they were trying to bring him, yes.
Right, but that there would be no bars on, you know, you had your shot at being Mr. Big Stuff, and you're not Mr. Big Stuff, so now off to jail with you.
And would he have to go to jail while he was appealing? Because I think he would win an appeal.
On that case?
Yeah, in the New York cases where he's already been convicted.
Right.
Because he's appealing those rulings.
Right. It's up to the judge.
It looks like he lost Fulton County, and just for the record, Fannie Willis was reelected.
No comment.
There's nothing we can add to that.
This is a pregnant pause in the discussion.
All I can say is the people in Fulton County are getting what they deserve. That's all I'm going to comment.
The good news is there's probably another Fannie Gate in our future. So,
Glenn, you want to? Glenn, pipe up. You got something you want to put in there? I know you wrote.
Well, the Georgia Court of Appeals is deciding whether or not she's got to resign. So that whole thing's not over yet. It's just been overtaken by events.
This is what it's becoming, our country's becoming. We argue about all these minuscule things, and meanwhile, we're facing two disastrous wars. We have crippling inflation. On the positive side, I understand in California, they approved a proposition that would reinstate stiffer penalties for criminal activity.
Shoplifting.
If shoplifting and several other things, cashless bail. I didn't remember the exact details. Yeah, so that's a positive thing, where even in California, they're sick and tired of having this lawlessness. I mean, it's just think about the impact of the election. Let's hope that that's one of the impacts.
Well, the DA in Los Angeles lost, so.
Yeah.
Asked Kamala if she voted for or against Proposition 36. She refused to answer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Alan, what you're saying there, something that I read quickly in the New York Post was apparently, I'm going to pick up a line going back to Hillary. Russia is going to do a, quote, reset with us as the administration changes.
Well, the Houthis have already said that they are standing down in their attacks against Israel. They no longer want to attack Israel. And it's interesting that this is today or yesterday was the day that Netanyahu changed his defense minister.
Does the Houthis proclamation there, does that include not firing on any more Western ships?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. Let's go find out.
I mean, were they firing on the ships because of Israel, or I'm confused there. I mean, if you haven't been firing on anything directly to do with Israel, saying I'm not going to do it anymore is kind of toothless.
Well, they've declared a ceasefire against the IDF. So I don't know if it means anybody else. And evidently, Saudi Arabia is in on this ceasefire deal. Wait a minute.
Okay. Glenn, you want to take us in a different direction?
No, not, I guess not really. But we were, you know, we're talking about how's this going to change? What's going to be different? I hope it's already scripted out. We're going to close the border. We're going to deport at least the criminals. And where do we go from there? You know, all of the things that he ran on, I'm going to be more than a little disappointed if he doesn't execute that just as soon as possible.
I want to hear him put our hostages on the front page.
Yeah, that's a good point.
From Hamas. Where are our hostages? This is America. We want our hostages. And if that means you produce the rest of them, so be it. And I want to see him get rid of this Ukraine war immediately.
And the other thing is, and it's imminent, of course, we don't know exactly, I don't think at this point, where we are on the federal House status. But if we lose that House, it will be, it's not a layup to continue the tax items.
As far as I know, we're okay with the House.
Are we?
As far as I know.
We're hit like
the,
three.
The okay. gift, to me, the gift that President Trump brings is he understands economic leverage rather than war. He knows how to use financial leverage to avoid war.
And also the people that he surrounds himself with. If you look at the economic impact that Elon Musk can have and the impact that, say, his space program.
SpaceX.
Yeah, all that satellite stuff, that can be jobs, that can be manufacturing in this country. Musk has said he could clean up, $2 trillion out of our debt? I don't know that I believe that, but I would like to see him try.
Well, the amazing thing about Musk was recently when we saw the booster rocket captured and brought back to Earth. Now, I'm sorry, I remember when John Glenn went up. That was like 1959, 1960, back there somewhere.
You're dating yourself.
Yeah. And we haven't ever recovered a booster rocket. And we've been doing this for 50 years. And Elon Musk steps up and he says, I'm not wasting this thing. I'm bringing it back and using it again. So, you know, I want that man in government. I want him saying to people, we're not going to waste this stuff anymore. We're going to find a way to save money for the taxpayer.
Well, speaking of Musk, Rachel Maddow, lest we forget her, is busy, busy, busy on MSNBC. And the night before the election, she said, complaining about what Musk has done in support of Trump. Trump, thank you. Jeez. She said that immediately Kamala gets in there, she needs to cancel every government contract with Musk.
Mm-hmm. There was also recently an article in the Washington Post that somebody was looking into his immigration status.
Yes, they are. And Rachel Maddow also brought back Russia, Russia, Russia.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, I think, tagging on to this, I think Trump following through on the true Big Ten expansion, you know, Robert Kennedy, Musk, all these people.
Tulsi Gabbard,
and making that important is a key.
You know, he's had 4 years to vet these people out and to say, no, thank you, I will not take the federal government transition team.
Yes.
The woman that was his campaign manager, the blonde lady, I can't remember her name, she was on the news last night, and she was saying that on day one there's going to be these executive orders and that have already been drafted and have been drafted for a long time, and that the lawyers have been looking at them and are re-looking at them. And so I like that he's prepared. So when he says on day one, we really do have something to look forward to.
Yes,
we do. We have a lot of crazy things to look forward to, a lot of things that people are going to say, you can't do that. And he's going to say, oh, yes, I did.
Did.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break again to hear from sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, you're challenging us to do what?
I would like everybody to talk about one change that they believe a Trump presidency will make. And I'm going to start, first of all, as Bob mentioned, he has refused the federal transition team, which is smart because last time they totally undermined him. And the other thing that he has done is he has refused the security briefings so they can't accuse him of leaking. So he has refused them too. So what we have there is we see a change. We see somebody who, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And I believe that he's learned who he can trust, who he can't trust. And I believe there will be a lot of resignations demanded on his desk on day one of people that he feels put themselves above the interests of America. And I think we're going to see a pretty major housekeeping, cleaning.
Yeah, my thoughts are, and I hope that this is, he's able to accomplish this, is the area of manufacturing that we've lost in this country. Our manufacturing capacity has been so diminished. I mean, you go in a store and you pick out an item, I'll bet you 10 to 1 it's made in China. Mm-hmm. And what we've been doing, like I read the other day, they had an article about submarines. We don't have enough boat yards to produce the submarines that we need because they have been shut down. And there's other areas. We talked one time about the ports and the equipment that they use to load and unload ships. Where's it made? China. And Trump has talked about the tariffs that he wants to put on these items. But he needs to really, and I think he will, really get manufacturing back into this country. There was a time when, like in 1980, I think it's like 20% or 25% of the people worked in manufacturing in this country. Now it's down to 8%. And we are losing our manufacturing capability. You lose that, you're going to lose your strength, you're going to lose your freedom.
Patricia.
My bugaboo issue is immigration. Mm. I used to live in two different border states, Texas and New Mexico. I am well aware of the porous border. Back in the days before it became a totally open border, one of my bugaboos in the law is the Motor Voter Act. I don't think we need to have illegal aliens streaming into our country. And so I'm hoping that he starts the deportations, he closes the border, and restarts the fence.
Well, my bugaboo, I like that word, Pat, is energy independence. We were energy independent, and we are not. We have all suffered through not just the loss of oil leases or new wells or anything to do with oil, but the opportunity of individuals to say, I don't want a windmill farm off of my coast, or I don't want a solar panel thing in my backyard, those things have been heavily, heavily, heavily government subsidized. I would like to see all those subsidies go away. If an industry can exist on its own, including EV, I don't think the government should help it to exist. I think that we need to put the oil refineries back to work. I think we should invest more in nuclear. I just don't think that this country needs to depend on countries that hate us for our energy.
Bravo.
Thank you. Glenn.
Government efficiency improvement. Elon Musk, I think that's going to be exciting. His biggest challenge is probably going to be, there are so many, where do I start on trying to get a hold of this thing? So I hope they just are able to sift and sort and get to the biggest one that doesn't only save us money, but also gets out of the way. Because most of these agencies not only spend money, but they are obstructing, you know, free enterprise and those sorts of things. So I'm excited about what's going to happen there.
You know, along with that, I'd love to see some of the agencies sunset. That you know, they have a defined life, a definite life that says at the end of such and such, you stop. My peeve right now is going to be restoring the military. Because and I'm going to start with, let's get the folks, I'm going to piss people off. Get the transgenders out of the military.
Yes.
Let's get us back to a fighting force. This is not a social experiment. This is a fighting force that we need to have. That's there. That the upper echelon, the generals or whatever else, that are mostly political. They've receded to those points because of their political involvement and their schmoozing. Let's hold them accountable. We may not agree on this, but we have a uniform code of military justice, and we need to enforce that from the top to the bottom. And we need to restore the equipment. And folks, I think that Trump coming in, he is a person that will be ready to use the military if it's necessary. And going back to a line from Eisenhower, and this had to deal with the nuclear bombs, he says, don't ever threaten to use a nuclear bomb. If you're going to do it, do it.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that is interesting about the military, one of the things that President Biden did that was horrible, he used the administrative arm of the Veterans Administration to help illegal immigrants get their medical care. They weren't getting cared for by the VA, but the administrative arm of the VA was helping direct them to medical care and help them through their records. And to me, that shouldn't be. The VA has enough trouble dealing with the veterans. I mean, we're at a point now where the Vietnam veterans that are still alive are in their 70s, and the younger ones are in their 60s. Many of them have been exposed to Agent Orange. Many of them have
PTSD.
Okay. And many of them, unfortunately, are drug addicts living homeless on our streets. It seems to me that we need to address some of those problems before we give illegal immigrants $1,000 credit cards and free hotel rooms.
And I think one of the areas that we could save a whole bunch of money real quick is stop with the foreign aid to countries that hate us. And maybe that's where Elon is going to look at some of that $2 trillion.
Yeah, well, why should we pay people to hate us?
And we need rid of the United Nations.
Hey, yes. As far as getting rid of foreign aid, and I think Trump surfaced this idea his first term, was if he wants to deport people back and the country refuses to take them, get rid of their foreign aid.
Yes, I remember that.
Now, I'm going to ask another question on the illegals right now, again, because they are subsidized either coming out of our, quote, Social Security fund, the non-existent Social Security fund, or some other government obligation. Why do we have an obligation to support them?
Because the government said so.
We don't. And why
there's no legal basis.
There's no legal basis. Is that an executive order that says we're not supporting them,
period? They're hanging their legality under the asylum law.
But no other country gives us that benefit if we illegally enter their country. If you go illegally into Mexico, you go to jail. You don't get handed a phone.
We've got non-government agencies that are being paid to bring these people in by our government. This is in conjunction with the United Nations, which I believe it was just mentioned. We need to get rid of that, throw it out of New York, turn it into luxury apartments with a beautiful view of the river.
And we have a local reporter that all of us know from our Common Core fight, Andrea Dillon in Raleigh, and she does a newscast. She works with North State Journal. She's a reporter for North State Journal. And she also does her own thing. It's called There's More to the Story. And she has an article last week that said that North Carolina ranks third in illegal crimes, third in the nation. And we kind of feel a little bit safe here in our little community of New Bern. But it's scary when you think of it in big cases like that in the big cities, that third in the nation of illegal crime?
Well, the illegals have been imported into the red states. If you look at the numbers of where they're going into red states with the idea that they will eventually turn those states blue.
Is that why we have an attorney general going to be governor? Are we looking at more sanctuary city issues?
We probably are. And again, we don't know how many illegal aliens voted in the North Carolina election.
True. Well, Major Dave, who does the Election Integrity Project with Jim Womack, he put on Facebook today that he has several candidates that he needs to talk to about things that he has found before the canvass is done. So who knows what he's found?
Yes.
Well, my understanding is that the president has the authority to shut the entire border down. And if that's the case, I think that's the first thing he's going to stop all immigration until they can get it straightened out and get these people deported. That's what he needs to do. And I think he's going to do it.
I hope he does.
It's one thing about Trump. He has, you mentioned this, you hope he's going to do what he said. When he was in the first 4 years, he did what he said. I have absolute confidence he's going to do what he said.
There
may be people who will try to stop him and so on and so forth. But to the extent that he can, like building the wall, he went through all these permutations in order to get the money. He took it out of the military because he was determined to get it done. I have no doubt whether he will do that.
We also need to revise our legal immigration system because it's a mess.
Agreed.
And if we can set it up so that people can come to America in reasonable numbers so they can assimilate and be required to support themselves, we will have something.
Mary, you said that you were talking about the biggest gift that Trump gave us. One of the other gifts that he's given us is J.D. Vance.
Yes.
J.D. Vance is an excellent choice for vice president, and he will serve us well. He's educated. He's articulate. They can't use any of the typical things against him about being racist and all that kind of issues. So I think that we have an opportunity to have 12 years of turning back
he
to the right
the
direction.
Future and of he the will, Republican Party.
And he will be put to work. J.D. Vance will be put to work right away.
Border czar. Okay.
Folks, I'm going to have to interrupt, and I'm going to have to say we're going to wrap up the show. Thank you again for just being there and ask you to go and visit our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Have a great week.